Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writers Book Club. Hi everybody, this is Blondie and the Brit, and we are here with Writing, Publishing and Beyond, our podcast for authors out there that are just trying to find their way through their writing and publishing industry. And we have a very special guest today. We have Sharon Anderson, and she is an author of three books, and she has three more books in the process right now. And she classifies herself as a horror writer with a dark comedy twist. So welcome, Sharon.
That's a nice introduction.
Oh, good. So you classify yourself as not a typical horror writer. I don't really read horror, so what exactly does that mean?
Well, I think in general, with horror writers, the intention is to terrify people.
I'm a mother, I don't need that.
I know. I'm a mother too, so in fact, that does help me in my horror writing. There's a few scenes, let me tell you. My intention is to entertain, really, and I think most horror writers would say that they entertain too. But my writing always has some form of redemption at the end. It has some form of hope. So that's just the way I'm wired. My father-in-law used to say, it's because I'm Danish. I don't know.
And is that not normal for horror writers to have redemption? Is it sort of everybody dies at the end? Is it like a Shakespeare normally?
Yeah. You know, I think about Stephen King really at the end of The Shining. You know, when the Shining actually, everybody thinks that it's over at the very end in the book. You see The Shining go up. You know, away from things, and you know that it's not over.
And
set up for the sequel is what that is.
That's what that is. But it also is the stuff that makes you terrified of what's under your bed at night, you know.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm already scared to look under my bed at night.
I know. Get the vacuum out, man. That's what I say.
I'm the same way. I can't read horror. It terrifies me. I'm just too delicate, I guess.
Yeah, I always have to have some kind of weird twist of humor in it. I don't know why that is, but I find dark things funny, so.
Well, that's a good selling point, though, because horror just with blood and gore, I think you've got to have a little element of something in addition to it just to add depth and humor. Why not? I mean, Suzanne and I are big fans of humor, so why not?
Yeah. I mean, I remember the Dracula. First Dracula I ever saw was very impressionable. It's 5 years old maybe. And here I'm watching this and here this guy creeps up to the grave, he's digging it up, and I'm thinking, oh no. And he pries off the lid of the coffin, and there's a skeleton there, and there's a stake, and he pulls it out. And I'm thinking, why doesn't he put it back in?
Leave that alone.
You need it for the next Dracula.
Yeah. So that's the great part of being an author is that you can put the stake back in and that's what happens.
And you like that's sort of what you mean by the redemption. You get to do whatever you want.
Yeah. And also I believe in more happy endings. So maybe I'm not really a horror author at all. Maybe I'm just a pretender. I don't know.
No. A pretend horror author.
I'm
going to pretend to scare you.
No, I think if you scare them, you're a horror writer. It's just that you've got another layer to it that has a little bit more humanity than just the violence and the gore, right? Now, I've heard that you grew up in a haunted house, Sharon. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I can. I mean, here we are in this little house in Ballard. Of course, I think it's a huge mansion because I'm small, you know.
Yeah.
And we would be watching television like your ordinary American family, you know, all huddled around the TV at night. And all of a sudden, the front door would open.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding.
I would say, oh, you know, why'd that happen? And my dad would laugh and say, it's the friendly ghost we have here, don't you know? So I thought, well, that's a very inconsiderate ghost that makes me get up and go shut the door again. So
it could have been a whole lot worse, door shutting.
A lot worse, yeah.
Pretty much.
So tell us a little bit about your writing process.
Perfect writing day for me would be starting about 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, my God.
And just pounding till about 2 in the morning. And then,
wow.
And lately, I've been waking up early.
We've looked at your website. You have some works that are in process, some books that are out. Do you write, like, one thing and then have to switch because you're bored with it and write something different? And you have all these different series and things going at the same time. How does that work?
I have one book out. I have two other books completed, but they're not out yet. They're just sort of in limbo because I'm not quite sure what to do with them. I want to do a lot more with them. And so they're sitting there thinking probably to themselves, what in the world is she doing? So...
When you say a lot more, do you mean more that you want to add to the story or more as far as marketing goes?
Oh. I think so. And, you know, part of that is really just trusting myself as an author and knowing, you know, people will say, oh, you'll know when it's done. You'll know when it's done.
Uh-huh.
I've never had that feeling.
I was going to say, you mean either.
Yeah, it's like, what are they talking about? You'll know when it's done. Well, maybe you'll know when it's done when every time you look at it, you get so sick of it, you want to throw it across the room.
Thank God. That's the best way to look at it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what Suzanne did, and then she let somebody beta read it, and it made her feel so much better about it, because, like, she was saying that comedy, once you've heard the joke, like, the fifth time when you've read through it again, it's not funny anymore. So maybe,
right.
Maybe to help spark that along is you give someone that you trust to read it and have them give you some feedback, and maybe, yeah, it's missing this, or... to at least egg it on, maybe great praise that it's awesome and give you the feeling that you're ready to let it out into the world.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, try and find somebody in the industry, not just a friend, because a friend's going to love whatever you write, but somebody who does know something about this genre. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I paid someone to do it because I thought, I'm either going to put this in the bin, which I was on the ready to do, or I'm just going to send it out to someone because I was going to throw it away anyway, so what does it matter, you know?
That's true. I have a really bad habit when I write and when I go through editing is I want to change everything again. So, you know, that's my torture.
Well, you are published through Book Trope. Yeah, and they're sort of a hybrid publishing company that kind of straddles traditional and indie publishing worlds. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
It's really up to the author to build their team. I think Book Trope is a fabulous company. And I also think an author and, you know, ask the right questions. You know, are you going to read my book?
Darren, when you say team, do they require you to have, like, other authors? What does that mean? I'm not...
Well, you build your team. So Book Trope is a 70-30 split in proceeds, and the author will get the 70% of profit, while Book Trope retains the 30% to pay for printing and layout and everything else. So of that 70%, you split that between your editor, your book manager, your project manager, proofreader, and cover designer. So really, authors...
You really do have a team.
Yeah. Authors end up with about 33% of profit, which is what you'd get, maybe a little bit better from a big five.
You do have a team. My father has me, my husband, the dog. And then the cat, if she's in the mood. But yeah,
cats are very aloof. They don't care about it.
But that sounds great because you have a real support system.
Yeah.
So if you're the kind of author that really wants to have a support system but have the flexibility, because in a sense, you're not self-published, but you didn't have to, as long as your manuscript was, you know, good, it's not like a big five in the fact that they are really making decisions based on, you know, a graph line of, you know, this is going to make money, you know. So
right.
they are much more interested in the author's voice, right?
Right. And, you know, I think this is probably the way things are going to go in the future, you know, the team approach.
Right.
I really think it's catching on. You know.
And you are right. That is the way of the future. It really is. So it's very exciting, I think, to be in the industry at this time.
Oh, I think so.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Talking about that, I did notice that you have written screenplays. I didn't even know that about you till I went to your website, your blog.
Yeah, that was the first screenplay I wrote, was Sweet Life of Dead Dwayne. Sweet Life of Dead Dwayne.
There's the dark in there, too.
I think my blog says it's Sweet Life of Zombie Dwayne, and I changed it to Dead Dwayne.
Uh-huh.
That was originally a story. And then I switched it into a screenplay, and you know what? That story improved.
Wow.
Screenplay writing has taught me a lot about story development, really developing character and such. So,
because you have such a short amount of time to do that with screenplay, right?
Right, right.
So what I'd like to kind of switch now is just to social media, because part of what we're doing is trying to educate people who are coming new to writing, just about social media and what's available out there and how it works and what's your preferred way of connecting with people.
Oh my gosh. Social media is the big scary monster, right? I mean, it seriously could take over your life in a heartbeat. You know, never look back.
What do you mean, good?
Yes, exactly. It has.
5 hours have gone by, and it's just like, wow, what happened to my day? Facebook, obviously, is the most comfortable way of working social media because it's, like grandma friendly. And
Grandma-friendly. Lots of pictures of cats.
Yes. I don't know what I'd do without the cat.
We all need our cat video every day.
There's a new site. I don't know if you've been familiar with it yet or not. It's Thunderclap. What the deal is that you have to obtain 100 supporters within a 2-week period of time. And what they do is, you have your blurb up there, please support me, and then you support everybody else. And so on your appointed day, if you receive your 100 supporters, and by supporters, people will click onto your campaign and say, yes, I'm going to support you with my Facebook, with my Tumblr, with my Twitter, whatever. On this particular day, all of the people who have supported you, all 100 or more, whoever, that message of your book, your project will go out to all on all of their feeds.
Wow.
And reach all of that is a really cool deal.
Right. I'd be curious to see what sales are, because just putting a tweet out doesn't necessarily mean people will buy it, but to have such a huge audience and then maybe more people follow you because of it, et cetera, so get back to us and let us know.
I'm hoping that it'll be a good one.
Sharon, is there a cost to that?
It's free. It's part of it's a room on Facebook, and it's just authors supporting other authors.
Oh, cool.
You know, lending them their social networking support. Go dig into that site. I think everybody should. It's Thunderclap, all one word. And you can find it on Facebook, and you can't go in there and tell, post cat memes. You have to be seriously posting your campaign or supporting other people's campaigns.
That's very cool. Yeah. For anyone that's starting out today, like a new author who's new to social media and they have no idea what's going on, what is your advice to them?
I do think that blogs work. I hate to say it because it's painful to write them, because it just takes the time and energy away from my own work. Blogs do work. You have to be consistent. And, I am definitely for a team support. So if you're not going to go through BookTrove or a like company, then you really need to surround yourself with people who know what they're doing and that are going to help you. And, definitely check into the Thunderclap, because I think it's going to be a good thing.
How often do you write your blog? Is this a daily thing? Is it weekly?
Well, I'm trying to hit it a week. It's probably now about a 2-week thing, but I'm trying to get down to once a week.
And what kind of things do you put on your blog?
Really whatever hits me. I just posted kind of like a little video commercial for my award-winning short story.
Oh, cool.
Wait.
It's not that kind of show, Suzanne.
Definitely don't want to put you off.
That's a different one.
Oh my gosh. The Stone God's Wife is a short story I wrote through a workshop I took with Jane Ellen, who's a local poet. She's a poet laureate. There's no humor in it at all. So it shocked me, because usually, humor comes out, but there wasn't any here, and it's only under 4,000 words, I think. So, any case, the Chanticleer, are you familiar with Chanticleer Reviews?
No.
Catherine Brown of publisher and writer has.
This is local then, is it,
Chanticleer? Yeah. But Chanticleer Reviews is nationwide, and she's getting a lot of good reviews on her work. Well, I didn't even know that. I mean, I did submit my work, Stone God's Wife, and then I just sort of forgot about it. And I received a phone call one day, and it was my good friend, an author friend, Lisa Souza. She said, well, congratulations. And I said, oh, thank you. When are we going to get together and have fun, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's, and then I hung up. Then I called her back and I said, what did you mean, congratulations? What was it that she was saying? I knew you weren't paying attention. Yes, you just won the short story award in the Chanticleer, you know, reviews. What is it with you? So I hurry up and got on the networks, and sure enough, there I was, and it was like, oh, I cannot believe this, I won. And,
well, congratulations, that is amazing.
Yeah,
now,
so...
You need to do more, I heard that, so you need to make sure that we all know about that, because that's really great.
Yeah, I'm very happy that little story is finding a life out there in the world.
It just kind of encourages you as a writer, doesn't it? It's like, oh, okay, that's what I do, okay.
Yeah, especially when somebody reads it to you.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh my gosh, who wrote that?
See, that's what you need to do, is stop reading it yourself and have somebody read it to you with a candle and a dark knife.
And a cool accent.
Who wrote that? And they go, you did, Sharon, 10 years ago. So what are you working on right now?
I am working on a couple different things. I'm doing my MFA at NYLA, and they wanted work that hadn't been seen for a while, so I dug out this little story I started about 10 years ago. It's called Billy, and I'm working on that, getting that ready to be, you know, expanded and developed. Circus story, not really horror, just women's lit. And so I'm kind of excited to see where that goes. The other thing I'm doing is editing down Sweet Life of Dead Dwayne, and it is another work for in the same genre as Curse of the 770s, which is a dark romantic comedy.
Oh, neat.
Oh yeah, you need to tell us a little bit about that book so that we can give it a plug.
Right. Well, I initially, 3 books were planned in this dark romantic comedy genre. I wanted to do an omnibus. I thought that might be really fun just because I could say it, omnibus.
Omnibus.
It's a cool
one. I love that word. So I wanted to do a vampire story, a werewolf story, and a zombie story.
Wow.
Yeah.
The three scary people.
The three scary people.
Suzanne's definitely a comedy writer, can you tell? The three scary people.
So this is, you know, these are comedies, right? These are comedies. So that's into comedies, and so The Curse of the 770s is about a 15th century vampire coming back to life, bent on revenge, and finding out that love is sweeter. Everything works out fine until, of course, his older, much more famous brother shows up, throws a little wrench into things. So,
is he also a vampire?
Yes. Yeah, and everything, you know, I write, I have to put my own twist on it, so my vampires aren't sparkling, they're not, you know, there's not a whole lot of them, they wound up being vampires because of the gypsy curse.
Ah, well, I like gypsies.
Yeah, I do too, and I like to put them in my novels. I also like to put a lot of anime people in my novels for some reason. I just love anime. So
I'm trying to connect those two together in my head.
Yes.
I know, gypsies and anime, I don't know.
Gypsies, anime, and horror. I mean, there's the trifecta right there.
You have to laugh after that.
Yes, know. That's awesome.
So, right, that's what happens in this book. It's really a journey of discovering what's important, you know, what's important in life. And in fact, that's what I write about, what's important. The other thing, Sweet Life of Dead Dwayne, is about a guy who, he's in love with his girlfriend, absolutely in love with her, and he's always asking her to marry him, and she's always saying no. And then he dies. And he comes back because he has this magical amulet, and he has to absorb people completely. He doesn't eat brains. He absorbs people in order to not decompose. So, the only problem is, and he has 30 hours to get to Mexico City and find a hoodoo man and Aztec gold in order to reverse his dead status. Yeah, everything's working out until his girlfriend finds out what he's been doing in order to, you know, not decompose. So,
does he want to not decompose because he wants to keep asking her to marry him? Is that the
point? Yeah.
But there's nothing worse than a proposal than someone decomposing. It's not enough from the people we get them from, but
anyway. I know.
It's just wrong.
It's a funny story. It's a funny story, and it's going to be made better because that was the one I actually turned into a screenplay. And
it actually has screenplay qualities. You've got a ticking clock in there, you've got people coming back from the dead, always a good, vehicle.
Oh, yeah. And there's car chases and Helen, there's...
Is there any anime characters? That's what I want to know.
That's at the very beginning. Because every time he absorbs somebody, he takes on their personal characteristics, right? So...
Well, that's kind of cool. You know what? An actor would probably enjoy playing that role.
Yeah.
Good for talent. So you see? You never know.
Yeah, you just never know.
That's right.
So, anybody out there that just heard that and wants to steal it, it's like, come on.
I'd steal it. I wouldn't even know how to write it.
It's so original. I love it.
Yeah.
Totally original. Totally.
Well, that's what I mean by saying, you can't pick up a book of mine and say, well, this isn't right, and come into my world and just enjoy it, because that's why I write
people. Well, I love it. I think it's really fun.
Good.
Thank you. Well, and it's not just, it sounds like it's fun, but it just sounds so, innovative and creative. I don't usually read horror stuff, but I think I would probably read something like that just to laugh and have these things combined. It just sounds so bizarre and original. I don't know. It's definitely got my interest.
Well, I don't follow a pattern, so I don't follow the pattern. The only pattern I follow is that I really have to listen to what that creative vibe is wanting to do.
Yeah.
And not stifle it right away. I have to, because I have a hard time making my inner editor shut up. So, and I'm learning more how to do that.
I have the same problem making a comedian. It doesn't shut up either.
That's tough
because that's what you do. You always have an editor that's saying, oh, you can't say that, or you shouldn't do that, or you don't go there.
That's the great thing about being this age. We can do what we like.
That's right.
Sharon, tell us where we can get your book.
You can get it. It's available in all e-formats. So you can... through Barnes & Noble, it's on there. It's available at Amazon. Book signings and stuff like that, I will let you know about.
That would be so fun.
Sounds good. And so what is your website? Do you have a website where you have links to all your books?
It's the same one, SharonAndersonAuthor.com.
Okay, so that's where your blog and all your book links are. Good. Well, people, go out there and look at her book. She's got some really creative ideas out there, and I think you'll be quite entertained reading Sharon's works. I think you should jump right over there right now.
Thank you so much.
Hold on, before you go, we have a quick fire round.
Oh, yes.
Am I doing that, or are you doing that?
Yeah, why don't you do it this
quick time? Quick fire round, that sounds dangerous.
It is. Lie down on the floor. All we're going to do, we're going to ask you just a few questions, and you just answer them. They're simple questions, they're not hard questions. With the first thing that kind of comes to mind.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
I guess.
Okay, fasten your seatbelt, here we go.
Oh, no.
Okay, tea or coffee? See, I told you it was easy.
Oh, well, no, it's not easy.
I just looked up on the first question.
Don't get long life round.
It will not be like
pass.
You can find a friend, but you can't pass.
Coffee.
Good. Whew, that was
really
hard. Of them. Okay. Do you like writing in silence, or do you like music?
Silence.
What did you want to be growing up?
A writer.
Oh, cool. Because that's what you got to be. How cool. Is there a book you could read every year?
Yes.
What is it?
West and Future King.
Oh, I've never even heard that. Who's that by?
T.S. Eliot.
Oh, I love T.S. Eliot, of course.
Look at you, never heard of it.
I love T.S. Eliot, I just haven't heard of that particular book.
Okay.
But I'm going to look it up now, because that sounds so cool.
Okay.
Dog or cat?
Dog or cat? How can you make me choose?
I just, you know, look at them both, decide which one you could get rid of.
Oh, I can't get rid of my dog. My dog, oh, it's got to be a dog.
Because they're so, okay. What author would you most like to have dinner with? Dead, alive, or mutated, or whatever, you know?
Zombie.
Decomposing, whatever.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, how about Bill Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Although he wasn't really an author. He was more like...
I know, but his mindset, oh, Bill. Okay, favorite vacation spot?
Somewhere warm and tropical.
Excellent.
Oh, I'm with you.
Good answer.
AJ too, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, favorite book genre to read?
I've been digging into the paranormal romance. But...
romance?
Yeah, but...
romances were paranormal.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as it's got a ghost or a goblin or something.
Okay. I just love you. You're so much fun. Do you write best in the morning or at night?
Well, yeah, I'm going to say morning because, you know, sometimes 2 a.m. really is the morning.
Morning, yeah, so yeah. Mm.
It includes the night, too.
Right. If money was no object, where would you live?
I would live in France.
Cool.
I don't know why, but...
Sounds good.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
I just got back from France. Okay. Favorite comfort food?
Comfort food. I've been guilted out of all my comfort foods. Oh, I have to say, okay, scones. Love scones.
Oh, I'm going to bring in scones when I come for lunch.
Oh, yeah.
I want some, too. I love scones.
Yeah.
Well, you need to come, KJ. Just hop a plane.
KJ lives in Dirtville.
I live in Dirtville. And it's as good as it is.
Can I use scones in Dirtville? Okay. You have a nickname.
I'm not going to share that. Why should I share? Oh, okay, it's a wart.
She was so easy to talk into that.
Wow.
Okay.
Twisted her arm.
You know what? You don't have to go into why you're called wart.
Yeah, you can leave that private.
But thank you for sharing. Okay. Beach or mountain?
Beach.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, yeah, for the same.
Bravo.
See, wasn't that painful?
That was painful. Okay.
She writes horror, but she can't handle tea or coffee.
How many decisions?
Oh, man.
But she could do mutilated brain.
Yes, decomposing lovers.
People, we absorb people. We don't eat the brains.
No, that's behind my horror.
No, that's my horror.
Good point.
Oh, funny. This has been delightful.
It has been.
Please join us next week where we welcome back Luke Romaine. He is an action-adventure author, a number one best-selling author on Amazon and USA Today. This is the second part of the interview that we aired this summer. He is quite an entertaining guy. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.